Welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest today is Riza Salam, who has been appointed by Michelle Ford, who is the president of the Vaccine Injury Awareness League, to talk about the CDC
The
vaccines and the vaccines. He is also of the Nation of Islam and is known as humanitarian, who's received numerous awards during the state of California from the mayor and city councilman. So how are you, Rizzo?
I am fine, ma'am. How are you?
I'm fine. So you are credited with bringing awareness to the Black community about the harmful effects of some vaccines. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. Doing my best to pretty much get the information out as quickly as possible to our people, as quickly as I can.
Okay. So, Show Talk with Angela Butler did contact the Center for Disease Controls, but they have not replied. Now, what I was looking at that meeting is W. Thompson, who has a PhD. He also is the senior scientist. Well, at this time, he was the senior scientist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And there was a letter that a press release on August 27, 2014. And he says in the press release is that that he and his co-authors omitted data that suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at an increased risk for autism. And this can be found in www.cdctruth.org, and he said, and it was in 2004 that that the article was published in the journal Pediatrics. So what do you have to say about this? What insight can you bring to this?
Well, one, definitely Dr. William Thompson is the senior lead scientist specifically in the vaccine division at the Center for Disease Control. And what he basically did was he contacted Brian Hooker, who was he is a biochemist, and he gave him all of this information. He pretty much made him his, he just confessed everything to this man. He called him and said, listen, I needed to find someone that I could trust to just give this information to, and you're the guy. And so he pretty much talked to him for nearly 3 hours and gave him all the information on what's happening at the Center for Disease Control and what has been happening for over a decade. And he specifically told him that if we would have given this information or put this information out 10 or 11 now years ago, then over 100,000 young Black boys would not have autism if we would have revealed this information 10 or 11 years ago. So he was so, he just came out and said it. He just said it. And this is a man who is responsible for creating these vaccines that then go down to the doctor's offices and all of the medical centers and things of that sort. So this is the person, this is the source. Nobody can overrule what he says.
And
if he said it, then that just gives you an idea of what they've been doing all along.
Now, William W. Thompson is the head scientist of the Center for Disease Control, or the abbreviation of CDC. He said that decisions were made by he and his counterparts regarding which findings to report after the data was collected. And he says that he believes that the final protocol was not followed. And this is not a word-for-word quote, but this information, like I said, can be found at www.cdtruth.org website, and it's headed Morgan Verkamp, LLC. the protocol was not followed. He also says that he was not aware that he's being recorded. And his name is being released over the internet, but he's told all this information, and then he wrote in a press release, like I said earlier, on August 27, 2014, and it's titled "Statement of William W. Thomas, Ph.D., regarding the 2004 article examining the possibility of a relationship between MMR vaccine and autism." So, what is the MMR vaccine?
The MMR vaccine is what's called a multi-dose vaccine. It is a mixture of three different vaccination shots in one. First, measles; second, mumps; and third, rubella. These are three different vaccines that are supposed to be intended to handle three separate diseases, but they have combined them, saying that they're more effective when they are combined versus when they're separate. But the only thing that they have done when you mix them is they have increased the chances that a person can receive autism, specifically in black male children. And it was a vaccine that was released to handle those three separate diseases, but what they say is in a more effective and more convenient way versus going and getting these separate shots. So they try to kind of sell it to us in a way that it helps us, but it actually hurts us far worse.
Okay. All right, so it hurts us far worse. So now, this is not saying that all vaccines are bad. I just have to wonder, since the Center with Disease, the Center for Disease Control, he's the head of everything, and nothing can be put. Nothing can get past him without him okaying it. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am. Pretty much he's aware of virtually everything that happens with these, as far as the vaccine division goes, anything done with vaccines, everything goes through him.
So this released on the worldwide internet then? In the beginning, am I right?
Yep, correct. He knew about it. He definitely knew about it.
Okay. So there are 100,000 young black males who are autistic. Am I right?
100,000 who would not have been autistic if they would have released this information over 10 years ago is what he was saying. So he said we could have saved over 100,000 black boys from getting autism.
That's horrible. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Now you put the information out there. You let the black community know, RZA Islam. So, do you know anything about a complaint that was dated on an email for January 14, 2016?
I do, and I actually, you know what? I was briefly reading up on that regarding Dr. Lee's open letter.
Yeah, Dr. Shane Hang Lee, MD, FRCP, FCAP, director, as of January 14, 2006. He wrote an open letter of complaint to the Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan, as well as others, including Thomas Friedman, Director of the Center of Disease Control, along with the Minister of Health and Labor, I hope I pronounced his name right, Shah Azza, who was also over labor and welfare, the Vice Chancellor, also Professor Stuart McCutcheon, the University of Aquilan, and according to Sean Hang Lee, in the brief at the that he wrote for the brief of the Global Advisory Committee Vaccine Safety, are the abbreviated GACVS. He complains about Dr. Robert Pleas. Am I correct? Okay,
right.
That's my understanding. Okay. So would you like to talk about that, about the HPV, the word humapapavirus? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's a human papillomavirus. They have all these names. They try to make it sound all fancy and scientific when it's a big lie. You know, it's like, come on now. They just try to make it all sound fancy when it's really not, you know. But what I do know is regarding the human papillomavirus, when they were asking questions about it and they were trying to get information about it, and then when they went to the World Health Organization committee, they had a hearing in Tokyo, Japan. And they were talking to them about the safety of it, saying it was fine, it was clear, everything was okay with it, and that they could give it to the public in Tokyo, and then the world was that was the plan. And what they did was they found that there was lying about not only the safety of it, but that it was going to cause far more dangerous effects to many, many, many different people. And they lied about it. The officials over the World Health Organization lied about it. The employees at the Center for Disease Control lied about it. And they deliberately misled the Japanese expert specifically on the human papillomavirus during and after February 26th of 2014. So when they had this whole public hearing, this is not the first time when they've lied about vaccines. It's definitely not the first time when they've lied about shots or anything dealing with helping people. It's not the first time. They do this all the time. It's just this time is one of those times where they got caught.
Okay, they got caught. So The Vaccine Injury Awareness League is bringing this to the forefront also. And from what I understand, the president is Ford, Michelle Ford. She is the president. She's really, you know, you've been protesting. They have been protesting the Vaccine Injury Awareness League. Am I correct?
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Are you a part of that?
I am an affiliate. I'm the representative from the Nation of Islam under Minister Tony Muhammad in the Western region. And so I've been directly, you know, I'm the one who's actually responsible for getting this information to the Nation of Islam regarding the MMR vaccine and how our young black boys in America have received autism. I received this information and got it to the black community. So now the whole Nation of Islam is fighting against it along with millions of people. So that's pretty much my role. So I'm affiliated with the Vaccine Injury Awareness League and many other organizations that are exposing it.
So Dr. Lee writes to Dr. Chen that he's a medical doctor and scientist. That's his credentials. And in this email, the email is called Allegations of Scientific Misconduct by the GACVS, the WHO, and the CDC. And it's called an open letter of complaint to the Director General of the Health Organization, to Dr. Margaret Chan. And it says, and it reads, and it, you know, it's got a lot of information, a lot of emails, a lot of proof of things. He talks about the, in the email, the complaint says that he's making a complaint basically about grave concern also about the conduct of certain members of the Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety, GAC, with the World or CDC, and other scientific health professionals doing the time shortly before the public hearing on HBV vaccine safety. And this is through the Freedom of Information. Information is through the Freedom of Information Act. So would you like to talk in further detail about what happened on February 26, 2014, or to the best of your knowledge, about the AIDS and what HPV is? Vaccine.
Right. Yes. Well, to the best of my knowledge, what happened at that hearing, it actually was where they were going over, you know, they usually have the public hearings where they are reviewing, you know, the safety of things. They're reviewing why should they even need this vaccine, you know, to go to this public, you know, what is the purpose? You know, they pretty much have a hearing. They want to figure out what is it that we need to, what is the purpose of this vaccine? Why do we need it? And usually, 9 times out of 10, they lie about it. They exaggerate the numbers. Let's say if one person got infected with a disease, they'll say 20 or 30 or 100 got infected, or they'll just lie completely. This is what the government has been doing, and the HPV vaccine specifically, what they say is it's created to prevent genital warts, you know, in our reproductive areas, and specifically cervical cancer is what they say it's supposed to handle when it comes to women and cervical cancer and things of that sort. That's what it's supposed to be for. But it does not do that. There are many cases where it does not help. Same thing as I said before, it harms far more than it ever helps, and that's virtually with any vaccine. And then they lie about the numbers. They'll say that 100, like I said, 100, 200, 300 people, you know, are affected, when the truth is maybe 10 or 15 are infected. And then they'll exaggerate the numbers and then bring it to the World Health Organization and bring it to the officials and the people who have the money or the power to make the decisions, so that they can get them to agree to vote on it, to get more money for it, and then get it to be pushed out to the public. And what happens is, once they get the approval to put it out on the public, they inject the people with this vaccine, and then it actually causes the exact thing that they say it's supposed to prevent. So instead of preventing cancer, it causes it. Instead of preventing autism, it causes it. So that way, by the time they catch up to this and realize that it was a lie, it looks like they've been right the whole time. So the government is like, we made a good decision. You know, yeah, look, all these kids have autism. They don't realize the increase in vaccines triggered the increase in autism. They've never done a study that has shown, they've never looked at the study between vaccinated children versus unvaccinated children. They never do that study at the CDC because they know they will blatantly be caught in a lie. And everybody will see, like, wow, you've been lying this entire time. That's why they do not do these studies with HPV, you know, with MMR, none of these vaccines.
Okay, so the MR, none of these vaccines. So basically the complaint for Dr. Lee is that it seems more like, basically, he's got all these emails, all these facts, references, and paragraphs, analysts, and he talks about several papers. In the first sentence, he says, well, not in the very first sentence, but on page 2 of this complaint, on my computer, it says the first sentence, several papers have also been published pertaining to the finding of HPV-L1 gene DNA in clinical specimens, PV vaccination. And he says, in parentheses, he has 1314, which says, was apparently constructed for dissembling and designed to mislead. And the study in reference, I think it's called the Tom L. Junkovich, L. Shaw, C.A., Death After Quadrivalent Human HPV Vaccination, Casual or Coincidental. So, Pharmaceutical Reg Affairs, 2012. And it goes on and on. He said the authors of reference, 13, never mentioned HPV-L1 gene DNA fragments at all. Dr. Pliss, he says, knew the difference between HPV-L1, VLPS, and HPV-L1 gene DNA fragment, because in his February 18, 2014 email, he addressed to Helen Potosius Harris. Did I pronounce her name right?
Yes.
And the others involved, he calls it a scheme.
Oh, yeah.
He says, he says it's a scheme. Dr. Pless, he said, specifically asked Dr. Petrus Harris to address her statement regarding the alleged role of aluminum binding to DNA fragments and subsequent effects. He said the seed copy of February 18, 2014 email attached. And it was not about HPV-L1 VLPS. He says one cannot help and conclude that Dr. Pless intentionally put these two unrelated articles together and claimed that both articles studied HPV-L1 gene DNA fragments or to mislead the non-scientific readers in vaccination policy. And this is over in Japan, am I right? Or is this before Japan?
Yeah. Oh no, this is Tokyo, Japan, where the hearing took place and where they initially misled the people. But they specifically started with those who are, like I said, lawmakers, elected officials, those who have the power to get it out to the people, and those who have the power to get funding for the vaccines to get out, and those who have the power to approve the vaccines and say that they are safe for the public. So these are the people who they misled.
So there was two cases of sudden death in young women following an HPV vaccine, one after 10 days and one after 6 months. It says, according to them, I believe the information supplied by the group, which I want to say is uncovered by the Freedom of Information request, public hearing, which is also after the public hearing on February 22nd, 2014. He says, I believe the information supplied by this group led directly to the issue of the GAVCS statement on the continued safety of HPV vaccination on March 12, 2014, which contains some of the paragraph that I just read. If you want more information on this, you can go to www.cdtruth.org about the two young women who died, one in 10 days and one after 6 months. And they said no autopsy findings to support death as a result of cerebral vasculitis or an inflammatory syndrome. Does that sound right to you?
Well, yes, so far. Oh yes, no, definitely. And the thing that has to be looked at is when they look at there's two deaths, and then of course there's a lot that they do not report. There are so many cases of vaccine related death which they do not report, because if they report this, that will expose the lawmakers, it will expose the CDC, it will expose the FDA, it will expose everybody who receives money from this, it will expose everything. It's a whole monopoly. They've built an entire empire on lies and on the backs of murdering human beings, from black, brown, red, yellow, poor white people, everybody. And they've made trillions of dollars. So if I come out and I tell you, well, sorry, it wasn't just two deaths from the HPV, but it was more like 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, because they say, according to the American Cancer Association, I believe it's one out of every 435 people have or die from HPV, is what they were saying, according to the American Cancer Association, one out of every 435. But they're saying every year there's a large amount of women who are getting this cancer, this HPV cancer. But what they're not telling you is, how many of these women who have the cancer in their body, how many of them received the shot? And they're not going to show you the reports before she received the shot. They're only going to show you after. Because if they show you before and it shows that she didn't have the cancer before, but after she received the shot, she did, what would that tell you? The only thing that changed is she got the shot. So that would tell you, okay, well, the cancer must have come from one place, and it would happen to be the shot. See, it's just very... it's very sneaky. I mean, they're very wickedly wise people, very wickedly wise. And, you know, they'll say it comes from, you know, sexually transmitted diseases and, you know, but it's kind of like, wait a minute, we've been populating and being physical and intimate with each other for years. People just period for thousands of years. And all these supposed cancers and diseases were nowhere to be found just a couple hundred years ago. Most of these diseases, HPV and certain things like that, all when we were in Africa and certain people in certain parts of the world, there were no such things as these sexually transmitted diseases. So where did they come from? The moment these vaccines started to be invented, we saw increases in these specific diseases that the vaccines say they are supposed to be preventing. And if you look at the very word vaccine, the word vaccine literally means a weakened or dead strain of a virus. They tell you straight out, if you go to the dictionary, go to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it will tell you a weakened or dead strain of a virus with the intention to activate the body's immune system to fight off the disease. And it talks about the white blood cells and all of this so that the body can recognize the disease later. So what you're telling me is you're injecting me with the disease. Literally, you're telling me you are injecting me with it, and they'll say, oh, well, no, it's not active, meaning the actual bacteria is not alive. You know, it's not really alive, so it can't really harm you is what they're saying. So if it's not active, then my body can't recognize it. My body can't fight against something that's not active. If it's dead, you're injecting me with trash. So they're saying they're injecting you with it so your body can recognize the actual disease later on. That makes no sense.
Okay. It makes no sense. Okay. No, it doesn't. You are right. You're right. Now I understand why they're giving you awards in California and Ebony. I understand now with the Ebony Awakening Foundation, the Mayor and City Council of Compton, California, why you receive dozens of awards and notoriety as a humanitarian. And you also deliver classes on drug education, life skill, communication skill, anger management, health, and study skills. And you help to serve, save, and inspire and salvage the lives of more than 15,000 people. Okay. And you're a minister, student minister in training under Minister Thomas Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. Okay. Well, you're doing what you're here put on earth to do. And that's wonderful. RZA Islam. Okay. So this isn't the first time. This is new to me because I was born in the 70s, and when I started school, you had to be vaccinated. Either the health department, private doctor, but you had to be vaccinated. You couldn't go to school without vaccinations. So this is new to me, and I've been reading on it for a day or two now, and I'm finding out some things that are not good. Because I have people in my family who are autistic. So it's scary. So what else do you have to say about autism and, you know, any other related information that can get the word out there and help people? Well, I guess he's no longer on. All right. So I'm going to give him a minute to call back in. I'm going to play Gloria Abbott's Ain't No Sunshine. Of Islam. Also, we're still talking about the Vaccine Injury Awareness League that Ms. Ford is president of. She's president of this league. I think it's a great thing that she's doing. I'm looking at her website. She's got some photos. Looks like the photo is of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Ms. Michelle Ford is doing great work, and so are you, RZA Islam. So basically the things that are going on has been going on for a very long time. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am. You are absolutely correct.
Oh, gosh. This is not good at all. People are being hurt. By Now, I have to ask you about FDA. I haven't read up on the FDA, but they are the Federal Drug Administration here in the United States of America. So
right,
they...
Food and Drug Administration,
listen,
yes, ma'am.
Food and Drug Administration. Okay, so they listen to the CDC, am I right?
Yes, they actually work together, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, so there have obviously been deaths, and it's been proven that there are probably more deaths than there should have been, and also especially with autism, that they've known for now 11 years, you say, that it was causing autism. And if they had been transparent and told the truth and not withheld information, there's a very good chance that 100,000 black males would not have autism.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
That's actually according to Dr. William Thompson, the senior lead scientist there. He's actually the one who said that.
Yes, it's on cdtruth.org, and it's a press release over the internet. And he did say that. I can pretty well quote him word for word because I've read it numerous times. He's basically confessed. And he gives credit to Dr. I believe it's Dr. Brooks or Dr. Hooks. Let me get this right now.
Yes,
Dr. Brian Hooker. And he had been having conversations with him for about 10 months regarding studies the CDC has carried out regarding vaccines and neurodevelopment outcomes, including autism spectrum disorders. He says, and I'm going to sum it up, he says basically he believes overall that vaccines are good and that they help a lot of people, but I'll quote him. I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in a 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. The omitted data suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at an increased risk for autism. Decisions were made regarding which findings to report after the data, it says, were collected. And I believe that the final study protocol was not followed. He said, I want to be absolutely clear that I believe vaccines have saved and continue to save countless lives. I would never suggest that any parent avoid vaccinate children of any race. Vaccines prevent serious diseases, and the risks associated with their administration are vastly outweighed by the individual and societal benefits. He says, my concern has been the decision to omit relevant findings in a particular study for a particular subgroup for a particular vaccine. There have always been recognized risk for vaccination. I believe it is the responsibility of the CDC, which is the Center for Disease Control, to properly convey the risk associated with receipt of these vaccines. So basically he's saying So they withheld, they hid information.
Right, right.
Okay, and this can find on www.cdctruth.org. That's horrible. I'm just going to say it plain.
Yes.
That's horrible.
Yes, ma'am.
And there's no other word for that.
Right. Right. And you know, what's interesting about this is we're talking about an industry that makes trillions of dollars, not hundreds of thousands, not millions, not tens of millions, not even billions or tens of billions, but trillions of dollars, an amount of money that would make almost any person sell out. Almost anybody would sell out for that amount of money. And they've done this by
selling that to pharmaceutical companies, are you suggesting? I know there have been a lot of public lawsuits about birth defects from some pharmaceutical companies, but also when they settle these class actions, they don't admit liability either.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And that's exactly what I mean. Pharmaceutical, selling out to pharmaceutical companies, selling out to drug companies, because the FDA and the CDC, they're supposed to help to regulate or, you know, handle one another, make sure each person is doing the right thing. But first of all, if you put food with drugs, that's already a problem. Why is a person who is supposed to be making sure drugs are clean, why are they handling food as well? The Food and Drug Administration. That doesn't make any sense. That's the first red flag right there. And then you have the Center for Disease Control. Well, yeah, they do that. They control the diseases, meaning they know what diseases they make, and they know how to control them, and then they send them out strategically to certain areas. None of this is an accident. And so the people who are in control, like, for instance, you know, you have Commissioner Robert Cliff over the Food and Drug Administration. You have Rachel Sherman, Walter S. Harris, Stephen Ostroff, Jeremy B. You have all these people, all of them, and they know this. For the majority, they know, but there are some people who really believe that all these vaccines work and all of these drugs work, and, you know, and genetically modified food is good. Some of them really believe that. Some do. So I'm not going to say all of them are bad. However, the ones that we are referring to, like Senator Pan, who was the one who authored the mandatory vaccine bill out here for California, and a co-author is Isidore Hall, a black brother who received a little over $52,400 to pass the bill. You know, they sold out big time because they were paid by drug companies. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, I can tell you which drug companies paid them.
I can tell you which ones paid them.
You
have
proof
of this.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Isidore Hall is actually, he's actually the representative for Compton. He's the one who was, you know, a representative out here, and I'm born and raised in Compton, California. So he was our representative out here, and then he graduated all the way up to where he's now a senator. And Compton is one of the cities that's in his district. And so he actually, in order for him to become a senator, just like Mike Gibson, who's over Carson, another these were good friends of mine, and I'm talking about people who I know personally. They were very good friends of mine. We helped them to get elected, you know, told people to vote for them, promoted the idea that they're good men. And they said, Minister Tony met with them directly in Sacramento and showed them what these vaccines were doing and what Dr. William Thompson said, you know, all the proof. He showed this to them. And they looked at him and they pushed it back to him, literally gave him back the paperwork and said, look, you go and do what you got to do. We ain't into all that. Go do what you got to do. They told him straight to his face. And then they went on to pass the bill, but both of them said that they were not going to pass it. They said they weren't going to pass it, but they went and passed it anyway. And then next thing you know, down the pipeline, we see that they were paid off by pharmaceutical companies. So it's just, it's like, wow. That's what we mean by sellout. You know, GlaxoSmithKline was one of them. Eli Lilly was another one. The biggest company, pharmaceutical company, that was paying or sending money to these representatives.
So where is this information at? Where can I find this?
Yes, I will get it for you right now. The exact website, which goes over here. Let me see. I'm going to give it to you right now because this is the – I was checking this out actually earlier just to see who paid each individual. And it blew my mind when I saw which companies. Because, you know, Johnson & Johnson, we're talking about lotion and things of that sort. That's what we're talking about. But when you find out that –
Yes, I've heard about baby powder and things like that.
Right.
Over
right.
A period
That's what,
of
you know,
years of constant use, yeah. Feminine hygiene mm-hmm. and things. Okay.
And then you look at you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, so why would Johnson & Johnson do that? Well, because Johnson & Johnson was bought out by pharmaceutical companies because it wasn't that way at the beginning. It wasn't that way at the beginning. The owner switched and sold the company. So now it's in pharmaceuticals. And so they were producing. That I don't know. That's the only thing I don't know is which company bought it, but it is under the heading of now of a pharmaceutical engineer, and then they started lobbying with legislators, paying them money. So Johnson & Johnson spent over $583,000 on senators and assemblymen giving them money. And one of them was Isidore Hall, who was paid $53,400. That's our representative out here. So
and
he was paid
where's
by
that information? Where's that at?
Right here. If you actually, man, I'm trying to get the exact one, but if you Google who authored SB 277, it will go down the list of, it will go into Senator Pan. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It will go into, you know, Senator Pan, of course, who carries the bill. It will go into some of the co-authors. Isidore Hall is one of the co-authors. And then it will go into
S277.
SB. Like Sam Bryan, SB 277. Senate Bill 277. And then goes into which drug companies donate. And actually, I have it here. It's called the healthimpactnews.com.
So I'm looking at www.thegarden.com, U.S. News, California. Looking at SB 277, Senate Bill introduced. I'm looking at www.leginfo.ca. And it's saying that that Richard Pham is a pediatrician,
mm-hmm.
author and champion. SB 77 is now fighting to keep his job in the face of recall efforts from opponents of the new law. Okay.
Precisely, yeah. Because
and they're talking about death threats that have been made also. Death threats, according to www.sfgate.com here on the internet, on April 17, 2000, death threats made to the Office of State Vaccine Bill of a California student who co-wrote a bill. Doesn't say which one. And then they have date, Senate Bill number 277-California, www.leginfo.ca.gov, public, PUB 15-16 bill. It says February 18, 2015. My goodness. This has been going on a while.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, well, see, the thing is, he was paid the most. That's why he's receiving all these threats, because you're putting people's children in jeopardy. You're literally being paid to help and murder children. That's essentially what you're doing. And then you're faking and lying to people, saying that it's a good thing. It's okay. These vaccines are safe, when there are no studies which prove entirely that they are safe. There are certain studies that say certain things about it. Oh, it doesn't affect these people, but it affects these people. Or it causes these effects, but not these effects. But none of these studies are saying that they are absolutely safe. There are no negative effects. And then they'll say, well, no, it's impossible for there to be zero negative effects. Well, that's not true. If I take vitamin C, a certain amount of it, if I'm prescribed a certain amount of vitamin C, I'm not going to receive any negative effects. Why? Because it's a vitamin, it's natural, it's proven to help my body. But if I take a certain amount of a vaccine shot, one shot, these things are chemicals. They are not natural. And the ingredients that they have will literally kill you separately. With formaldehyde, aluminum, you know, you have monkey kidneys, you have rabbit's blood that they have in there. All these different chemicals, they have living cells.
Did you say rabbit?
Rabbit's blood.
Blood.
Oh, yes. Certain vaccines include that. It's very disgusting. You know, thimerosal, which is a mercury derivative chemical. If I injected your child or anybody's child with aluminum, that will essentially kill them.
Okay, yes. That's another thing. I was going to sum this up with Dr. Lee. It says in his summary, he says that Dr. Please and those whose names appeared in the emails attached to the complaint that the potential that was created is that there's a known molecular mechanism to explain why serious adverse reactions occur more often in people injected with HPV vaccines than with other vaccines, and also why certain predisposed vaccines may suffer a certain unexpected death as a result of Gardasil vaccination. Do you know what that is? Because I'll tell you what I'm looking at right now, so you know where I'm at. This has nothing to do with Gardasil. I'll just go ahead and say it has to do with the bill itself, the pill that you're talking about, the SRB77, am I right?
SB277, yes, ma'am.
SB277. Well, that's what I was looking at, but I'm also going back and forth. It said bill number XB277. This is the bill itself, entered during the bill text. It was introduced by Senators Pan and Allen, and it says the principal co-author, Assemblymember Godinez. It just goes on to the co-authors and on and on. It says, after all the names are listed, it says February 19, 2015. Okay. So what is the so it causes a certain death. Do you know anything about the Gardasil?
Well, I know the basic information, which is basically it's also known as Silgard, or what they call recombinant human papilloma virus. It's basically a strain
now, is that
of
HPA
the
HPV.
HPV. It's just another name for it, is what they're saying. But it's definitely, I don't know too much about it. I do not know too much about it, but they're saying that's one reason why the HPV is used, the HPV vaccine is used. And that's that. I don't know too much about that one. That's one of the ones that I haven't done much research on. But
okay,
they,
then we won't talk about it then.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
We'll stick to facts. We'll just stick to the facts. So, allegation of scientific misconduct by GACVS, the WHO DC representative, ETL, and this is the complaint from medical doctor and scientist Tan Hang Lee about. I still know a lot of noise in your background.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Appreciate it. So basically, they're talking about the same drug that I was just talking about. And he says, in the beginning of the letter, he says that I have come into possession of documentation, which leads me to believe multiple individuals and organizations deliberately set out to mislead Japanese authorities regarding the safety of the human HPV vaccine Gardasil and Cervarix, which were being promoted at that time. So he's talking about that the World Health Organization, the CDC, the Global Advisory Committee, et cetera, et cetera, and other scientific health professionals during the time shortly before the public hearing on HPV vaccine safety, which was held in Tokyo, Japan, on February 26, 2014. He's basically saying that these people have got together before that and knew things and omitted information. And he says he has so much proof to it's not even funny. I mean, it's horrible. All these emails. No wonder Miss Hillary Clinton is upset about a private server.
Right,
all
exactly.
Proof.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming how much proof they have, really. It's a lot of proof.
Yes. All these emails, all these dates, all these URLs. I mean, the internet, it's hardly anything that can be healed if it's through email. I mean, the police are tracking people like crazy on Facebook, Twitter. They subpoenaing the emails and things. I mean, the FBI and people. I mean, you can't really. It says he's showing the emails that have been about the a little bit before this, if I'm not mistaken. And he talks about different scientists and doctors' credibility. And it says in one, particularly from, I don't know, it's a Chinese Koja. Well, anyway, February 21st, 2014, 11:05 p.m. And this, I assume, is through the Freedom of Information Act. No, I don't assume. I know. It says, Dear Rob, subject in the HPV vaccine. He says, Dear Rob, thank you so much for the excellent work you and your colleagues have done. It sounds very strong. It is indeed very helpful. I made minor comments on the attached file. For the conference call today, there will be four participants from Japan. And it goes on to name the people. And in case you wish to discuss GACVS statements, it talks about infectious disease. Before that, it names other people. Then it goes on. In case you wish to discuss GACVS statement only among GACVS, please let me know that we will join you later. He said, attached, please find the draft annotated agenda and participation list of the public heating meeting. I look forward to talking to you soon. Just said Kadra, Deputy Director. And says, dear all, attached, please find a draft, a GACVS statement for review. We can discuss it tomorrow, actually in a few hours. It says in parentheses, and then it would go through vetting by the committee of the feeling remains that it should be posted in advance of this event of the next week. I propose the following topics for discussions for our call. Introduction. Number one, judge current situation in Japan respect to the Signal 3 origins of the two meetings being held next week and potential outcomes. Four, planned and likely topics that may arise by the speakers, says MMP, HPV, DNA, others. Then number five says responses during the meeting on the 26th. Then it says in parentheses, invited experts, ministry, expert advisory group. Number six, format and timing of responses outside the meeting, the GACVS statements, follow-up statements, and seven, other interventions, other issues, feels free to add / alter. Looking forward to getting together on the phone, Rob. And it says, then the gentleman, I believe it's Dr. Lee, who's also, like I was talking about earlier, Mr. Riza Islam, he says, based on the emails copied above, Dr. Pless and those listening to these emails already drafted a GACVS statement before the public hearing. However, after having discussed to his boss, Dr. Nebuchadnezzar wrote the group on February 20th to the following email. Do you know anything about this? I mean, any of this that I'm reading?
From that email you were saying?
Yes.
Oh no, I didn't know about the email directly. That I didn't know about.
Yes, and it's going on. Then it's going on Sunday, February 23rd, 2014, 6:01. Thank you. So it's on the www.cdsutruth.org. It says, dear all, thank you so much for your time and commitment. The conference call is very useful. And basically, after reading about a bunch of emails and different things, basically, this gentleman, Dr. Lee, concludes, in my opinion, that Dr. Pless, those whose names appeared in the emails attached to this complaint, which it is a complaint.
Right.
There's no excuse missing global vaccination policymakers at the expense of public interest. You know?
Wow.
And he's asking for disciplinary action. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. So you don't know anything about this. It sounds like a cover up, but you know.
Well, of course they have
misleading.
They're very slick in how they mislead the public, and then they put it out. You know, they put certain things in the public to make it seem like they're actually, you know, handling business and trying to bring people up on charges, and they do that. They're very, very slick. But the funny thing is, just for example, like with psychiatric drugs, the people who are supposed to check to make sure the drugs are safe are being paid by pharmaceutical companies to pass drugs. So they're all working for one another. The FDA, CDC, they pay one another. They back up one another. They cover each other's back. That's what they do. And that way everybody gets paid and nobody gets exposed. Nobody gets sued. They literally scratch each other's back.
It's Morgan Verkamp LLC on the which is on the www.cdtruth.org. And this is not one of Miss Ford's. I don't believe it's one of hers. Because she's the president of the Vaccine Injury Awareness League. So this is something else. cdtruth.org. It says statement of William W. Thomas, which I read early, PhD, regarding the two examined the possibility of a relationship between MMR vaccine and autism. It says for immediate release, again, I'm reading it, August 27, 2014. It says the statement of William W. Thomas, PhD, regarding the 2004 article examined the possibility of a relationship between MMR vaccine autism. He says, my name is William Thompson. I'm a senior scientist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, where I have worked since 1998. Then it goes on to say, I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. The omitted data suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at increased risk for autism. Decisions were made regarding which findings to report. After data were collected, and I believe that the final study protocol was not followed. I want to be absolutely clear that I believe vaccines have saved and continue to save countless lives. I would never suggest that any parent avoid vaccinating children of any race. Vaccines prevent serious diseases, and the risks associated with their administration are vastly outweighed by the individual societal and societal benefits. He goes on the next paragraph. My concern has been the decision to omit relevant findings in a particular study for a particular subgroup for a particular vaccine. There have always been recognized risks for vaccination, and I believe it is the responsibility of the CDC to properly convey the risks associated with receipt of these vaccines. He says, I've had many disclosures with Dr. Brian Hooker over the last 10 months regarding studies the CDC has carried out regarding vaccines and neurodevelopmental outcomes, including autism spectrum disorder. I share his belief that CDC decision-making analysts should be transparent. I was not, however, that recording of our conversations, nor was I given any choice regarding my name would be made public or my voice would be put on the internet. Okay, so he's saying that in his 2004 article published in the Journal of Pediatrics, he omitted data that he and his co-authors omitted data in this 2004 article published in the Journal of Pediatrics that omitted data suggests that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months were at increased risk for autism. Decisions were made regarding which findings to report after data was collected. And I believe that the final study protocol was not followed. So this was in the Morgan Van Kemp LLC, and it's on the www.cdtruth.org. And it says August 27, 2014, press release statement of William W. Thompson, PhD, regarding the 2004 article examined the possibility of relationship between MMR vaccine autism. So basically, he's saying that he didn't tell the truth. He and his co-authors.
Right. Exactly.
About autism.
And how many
Black American males or African American males are that could have been not autistic since 2004?
At least, according to Dr. William Thompson, at least 100,000, according to him. That would be 10,000 each year. And that number, because, you know, in the 1980s, you know, late 70s, early 80s, around that time, autism was only 1 in 10,000 at that time. Now, all the way up to this point, autism is now 1 in 50. And by the year 2032, one out of every two children, it is projected, if we keep going at this rate of the growth of autism, the rate will reach a high of one in every two children by the year 2032. That's only 16 years from now. And so, you know, that means trillions of dollars are going to be spent on children who are autistic because they are not about to go anywhere anytime soon. And it's going to bankrupt not only the state, but the country. So the government the government pretty much has started an issue that they can't get away from. They started a problem trying to depopulate the world, trying to destroy the African-American male, trying to destroy people systemically, and now it is at such a high rate to where they can't stop it. They can't. They have too many vaccines coming out on purpose. They have over 200 new ones that they're about to release, and they're trying to force everybody, including adults. They have a new bill, a new law that they're trying to get passed, which makes it mandatory for adults to receive vaccines. They can't stop it now. It's too far gone. And so what they've done is not only have they lied about it, but now that it's being exposed, they no longer can lie about it. But just because they can't lie about it, it shows that they can't stop it. So now they don't even care about lying about it anymore. They don't care who knows. They don't care who finds it out, because it's out in the open and nobody can stop it. That's the point.
Well, now, I just want to say something. Even though I understand that it's, 100,000 young black men, I'm looking at something here. And Mr. Andy Hilfiger, the brother of Tommy Hilfiger, is the mega fashion designer, superstar fashion designer, which is without a shadow of a doubt. But he opens up about his daughters, and children, and he talks about www.newyorkdailynews.com /style-health Tommy Hilfiger, and he has something called Autism Speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the funding, research into the cause, prevention, and treatments for autism. So it's not just black males.
Right.
So,
of course.
Yeah. I understand that this is a very rich man, but he's also a talented man. So I just want to say, just point that out. That's all. And there's a lot of noise in the background. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Well, and the thing is, it's not, of course, these vaccines are targeting everybody. The only difference is with the MMR vaccine, they're targeting with the MMR
black
vaccine,
males.
There's
because
black
they're
males
saying
with that one.
Yes, black males with that one. That's proof of that. I just want to say that about Mr. Hilfiger, too. But also understand that the transparency is that they failed to, that this gentleman, Mr. Dr. William W. Thompson, he's saying that the vaccine can cause autism if they're given to a black male, to a child, particularly a black male child, before 36 months.
Right, precisely.
And this vaccine, once again, is what?
I'm sorry, say
the vaccine. What is the vaccine that this doctor William was talking about? Dr. William W. Thompson, who's also a scientist. But he's head of the Center for Disease Control. He's head, right?
Yes, he is. Measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine.
Measles, mumps, and rubella. Okay. He's the senior scientist with the Centers for Disease Control. At least he was when this was printed. In his statement, his press release for Center for Disease, which is August 27, 2000, he blatantly said he and his co-authors admitted data suggested that African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before age 36 months would increase risk for autism. And in 2004, in August 27, 2014, he's been called out by Dr. Let me get it right. I believe it's Dr. Hooker. Yeah, I'm right, Dr. Hooker. About the 2004 article he published in Journal Pediatrics. Okay, so you're champion for this, am I right? I understand now why. You have, like I said earlier, so many awards by the Compton City Councilman. You're known as a humanitarian there. Now, I want to thank Ms. Michelle Ford, who is president of the Vaccine Injury Awareness League. She is the one who gave me your contact information. And, of course, you also are a member of the Nation of Islam. So I understand what's going on. Yes, I get it. Okay, is there anything else you would like? So I also want to say before I finish that, you're also known as humanitarian, and that's wonderful. That's a great thing. I applaud you. I applaud you, and I wish you, you know, success with your becoming, I believe it's called a minister. Am I correct? Or am I wrong?
Oh, no, no, you're absolutely correct. That is, that's what I'm striving to be. I'm training to be, and God willing, you know, I'll make it there. It is not easy work.
It's not easy
work. It's not easy. Yes, ma'am. But, you know, we have people who need our help, everybody. You know, the whole human family needs our help. But, of course, you know, seeing how I'm a black man, I start with my people first, but I've helped people from all walks of life, and, you know, that's what I'm going to continue to do. Is help as many human beings as possible. And, you know, this is only one of the things that we are fighting against, which is vaccines, and then many other things we've been called to help and fight against and expose. So.
Okay. So there's an awards well-known organization, the YMCA, Youth for Human Rights International, the Ebony Awakening Foundation. I know I've read this once, but it's fascinating to me what all you're doing, because the black male is so in such a negative light. You have the Ebony Awakening Foundation Award, the Mayor and City Council of Compton, California, to name a few. So that's wonderful. It's wonderful that you get recognition from what you do. I think that's great.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I truly appreciate it. And I, you know, of course, I don't do it for recognition. And none of us do out here. You know, we're in the street and just doing it. We have to just, you know, we're not doing it for money or, hey, look at me, look what I can do. We really don't care. We just want to help our people. That's really all, you know, we're out here to do. But, you know, people, if they choose to recognize us and acknowledge us for doing that, then, you know, that's fine. You know, we can't deny a person that. But, you know, what we do it for is really just for the people. That our people can really realize freedom, justice, and equality, and all truth. You know, that's really why we do it, because human beings deserve to live freely, and they don't need to be lied to, and they definitely don't need to be drugged and forcefully vaccinated and, you know, just tricked into believing something that is not true, and that turns out to harm them and harm their entire family and their whole people. They don't deserve that, and that is why we do what we do. And we in the Nation of Islam have always been taught that we must fight against injustice, regardless where it is coming from. You know, we have to fight against injustice. I don't care what color a person is. I have to fight against injustice so that we can bring justice to those who are pushing injustice, and so that our people can receive justice once and for all.
Humankind. Basically,
yes,
you're a humanitarian,
ma'am.
Also. Humankind. Not just
humankind,
one race, but
yes,
humankind.
Ma'am.
And humankind,
exactly,
does include the black race. Humankind does. Okay, I understand the black American race. Okay,
yes,
I understand,
ma'am,
all that. Yeah, and I was looking at the www.cdtruth.org at Dr. Shang Li, who says that he is a scientist as well, mm-hmm, as a doctor, MD. I'm looking at his references. He's got about 22 references. On page 16 in his complaint, just some serious stuff. This is some serious stuff. And then this is not about necessarily autism. It's about the allegations of scientific misconduct by GACBS. And he's got /WHO/CDD representative ETAL. And it said, and it's labeled an open letter of complaint to the Director General of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan. It's got the email address, and it goes on CC. It says CC, the Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare, Japan. Minister of Health, Labor, and Welfare, Japan. It's got an email address to Thomas Friedman, Director of CDC, Vice Chancellor Professor Stuart Mike Kupfinger of the University of Auckland. It says from Shang Li, MD. And it's dated for January 14, 2016. It starts off with Dear Dr. Chan. So, those of
yes,
you who
ma'am.
Are interested, yes, would you like to say anything about that? Anything at all? Because I'm looking at the proof. I'm looking at the complaint.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking at all the references. I'm looking at people's emails. And
right.
They have got this for the Freedom of Information Act. So,
right. And you know what? I will say this. I will advise and encourage people to send out the Freedom of Information Act request for every and anything
it's
that,
a request,
that's possible.
Act. Okay.
Right. It's definitely, well, the Freedom of Information Act, is it was an act passed so that the public and the citizens could retrieve information about what their government is doing. You know, if we feel suspicious about something and, we don't think that things sound too clear or too honest, we can request, to get that information to see what is it that our government is really doing. So when that act was passed, a lot of stuff came out that proved that, man, we were not crazy about the government creating AIDS, about the government, creating, having these vaccines that expose autism and a whole lot of things. That so through the Freedom of Information Act, any citizen of the United States could request information if they feel like they're being lied to, or if they feel like, they just want to, if we want to be certain about things and get the facts, we all have that right. So I will encourage everybody to look up how to send out a Freedom of Information Act request and request information on virtually anything that you feel may not be entirely accurate, correct, or truthful. Anything that you have a second guess on, or anything that you feel, you're being lied to about, anything, request the real information. That's a right that we have as a citizen of this country. So, you're absolutely doing a wonderful job on your show by just laying out the facts and the references and the, that's something that a lot of people don't do. They don't just grab the facts and just put them there. They go with all these opinions. But when you grab the facts and the information and you just put it there, people can't argue with that. So you have a very beautiful strategy, and you're doing such an amazing work on this show, because people down in Mississippi, they better know. In Alabama, and
I'm not in Mississippi. I'm about 30 minutes from Alabama state line, and I'm on Central Standard Time. I'm in a small town just doing my part.
Oh, trust me, it definitely counts. Just know that. It definitely counts. As many people, even if you woke up one person, you did a huge, huge job. Of course, all the holy books talk about that. In the Bible, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, seek wisdom, and in all thy getting, get an understanding. And anybody who seeks truth, truth shall set you free. You can inspire one young boy who in a couple years becomes the mayor and who bans, certain vaccines and bans certain drugs. And, you can do that. And even lastly, in the Holy Quran, the book that we believe in as Muslims, we believe in all these books. But in this specific book, it says that if one human being saves the life of one human being, it is as though he has saved the whole of humanity. So according to God, even if you save one life, sister, it to him, it's like you saved all of his people. So I just want you to know, you may live in a small town by the state line, but you're doing a magnificent work, sister. I just want you to
know. Yeah, I'm in Florida. Central Sun. Not right now, it's 9:13 here. It's 10:13. No, it's about
7:13 here,
Yeah, I'm 2 hours behind Pacific Standard Time, and Eastern Time is 10:13. So most people are probably asleep. But also, he was talking about the freedom of information request and all that, and how to do it. You can go to it's in Espanol. Also, it says Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, AIDS Info, and the website is aidsinfo.nih.gov, and it tells you how to make a request for this. Basically, it's letting you know. No, it's the act itself. Excuse me. It says AIDS Info is a U.S. Department of Health and Human Service project. The Office of the Ladies fairly approved. Talks about AIDS. That's not how that requested. I apologize for that. But it says you can go to Freedom of Information Act request. It says Reagan Library. That's present. Now, I believe that's in the honor of President Reagan. ReaganLibrary.gov/FREEDOM-of-information-act. So that's more information. All right.
Wow.
So this has been a long show. They seem to be longer these days. I want to thank you, Mr. RZA, Islam, the humanitarian, the student and minister in training, under the leadership. Who's your leader? Who's your minister? Is it Minister Tommy Muhammad? And the Nation
of
Islam?
Minister Tony Muhammad. He's the Western Regional, or the Western representative for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is all of our minister. That's all we will call him. We call him the minister, you know, Minister
okay.
Farrakhan. But my local minister is Minister Tony Muhammad, who is directly training me and who I'm training underneath. So, yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Mr. RZA Islam. Thank you for being a guest on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I don't know how many people actually listen to this show, but I'm not doing it for fame. I'm doing it because I want to, and I believe it's the right thing to do, and I believe in God, too.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Okay. Well, is there anything you would like to say?
Definitely. I truly, truly, truly admire you for stepping out and doing something that is very hard for many people to do. Especially when it comes to speaking the truth, regardless to whom or what, is not easy. It's very dangerous. You know, that the
yes,
deeper you go.
Yes, it's very dangerous. Yes.
Oh, yes, man.
Very dangerous.
Oh, yes.
I hope nobody blows up my house. I hope I don't
right.
end up dead on the side
right.
of the road. I in a ditch somewhere because
right. well,
of
you know,
this show.
God willing,
I hope I live to be 100. I hope in it. You know, I'm not ready to be murdered because
right. yes,
of an internet show.
Well, I know God is protecting you. You're doing good. You're doing His work. You know, I know that's what Miss Michelle Ford would say, is that you are doing God's work and that you have angels around you protecting you. That's why you're able to continue to do this because, you know, when you threaten the money of the powers that be and you threaten their control and their power, they will come after you. But I'm going to tell you now, if you do it, as you said, you're not doing it for fame, but you're doing it because you feel it is what God wants you to do, then He will protect
yes,
you and
I
He will.
Believe. That is what
yes,
God wants. I'm not doing it blindly.
Right.
I know what trillions and trillions of dollars mean. I understand the FDA. I understand what you said about the Federal Drug Administration. Your logic is you ask yourself, and you said on the show, what does food have to do with drugs? There's something wrong with that there. Okay. And
yes,
that gave
ma'am.
Me about two. What does food have to do with drugs? I don't know.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, but thank you. Thank you for being a guest. And again, thank you, Miss Michelle Ford. Thank you very
Absolutely.
Much for introducing me to this wonderful young man who is doing wonderful things in the name of God. Not in the
yes,
name
ma'am.
For fame or money, and neither am I.
That's right.
Thank you, Miss Michelle Ford, who is the president of the Vaccine Injury Awareness League. Thank you, for giving me the contact information for RZA Islam. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right, everyone. Have a good night. Those of you who did call in, which I see about 15, maybe 20 people, thank you for calling in. You know, I have a limit of 50 people, so if it's more than 50 people, I'm not going to see all the people who called in. But those of you who took time to tune in and listen or call in, thank you. Not doing this for fame or money. Believe me, because this is going into my January 2nd with my 7th year. This is definitely not for fame, because I foot the bill a lot of times. I also want to give credit to and thank United Movement for Africa. Thank you, Mr. Reggie, for what you did for the last 6 months. Thank you for helping support the show financially. God bless you, Mr. United Movement for Africa, because that was from your heart and you didn't have to do it because I didn't have the money to keep the show on. So thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. Everyone have a good night. This show will be re-aired tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But the URL you will be able to find at any time and listen to the show at any time that you want to. Any time of the day or night, as with all of my shows, you don't have to wait. So, everyone have a good night. Thank you again.